Hello, my name is Rob Bennett, the author of a book entitled Passion Saving, The Path to Plentiful Free Time and Soul-Satisfying Work. I'm also the publisher of the PassionSaving.com website, and I'm working on a second book entitled Investing for Humans, How to Get What Works on Paper to Work in Real Life. This is podcast number 158. I'm recording it on Monday, August 24th, 2009. The PE10 level today is 18. That's not good. I've been reporting the PE10 level ever since the stock crash. And for a long time there, the PE10 level was in a pretty good range. The lowest point, it went down to 12. During the insane years, from 1996 to 2008, the PE10 level was always well above 20. 20 is the danger zone. 25 is when stock prices are insane. And I believe there was only 1 year out of that 12-year period when we were not at insane PE10 levels. And even that year, we went down to about 23, no lower than that. We've been, since the crash, we went as low as 12, and we've been sort of inching up to 15, 16, which is still close enough to fair value. For stocks to offer a decent long-term value proposition. But today, we're at 18. That's not good. I looked at the, what was it? I looked at the 10-year most likely return on the calculator, the stock return predictor, and I believe it was 4% real. That's my recollection. And the rule of thumb I usually use is that if you're going to take the risk of investing in stocks, you should be able to get at least a minimum, at least 2 percentage points better than what you could get in a super safe asset class. But because of the risk of another stock crash today, I would say today you would want to get at least 3 percentage points better of real return. So that would mean with the PE10 level now at a level where the most likely 10-year return is 4% real, if you're looking for 3 percentage points extra gain from stocks than you would get from a super safe asset class, that would mean you only need to get 1% real return per year from TIPS or I-bonds or certificates of deposit to make them an equal value proposition to stocks. And I'm sure you can get 1% real. So today it's a close call. Today I, you know, there's room for differences of opinion on this, but my personal take is I think the typical middle-class investor, if such a thing exists, should be looking at a stock allocation of maybe 40% down from, you know, I mean, a couple months ago I was saying maybe 50, something like that, but I would be more conservative today. If you're at 50, there's no urgent need to change your allocation. We don't make frequent allocation changes. There's no need to anyway. If you bought at the lower prices, you're still going to get a decent return on that money, but I, in the long term, 10 years out, you may be seeing a crash before that, but in the long term. But in terms of putting more money in, I would be a little bit skeptical. If your allocation is under 40%, I wouldn't worry about it too much. But if your allocation is over 40%, I think there's a, I would say that the value proposition from the super safe asset class is a little bit better today than stocks. Not incredibly better. We're still below 20. Stocks are not a disaster. But given the likelihood we're going to see a second leg on this stock crash, I don't know that I'd be putting my life savings into stocks at these prices. It's not totally bad, but the price, the stocks are getting a little bit expensive, in my view, Rob Bennett's view. So that's just that's the highest I've seen at 18. That's the highest the PE10 level has gone since the stock crash of last. What was it? Last September, I think. All right. The music for the podcast is by Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com, and the title of the selection is Rocket. The title of the podcast is John Bogle Says Valuation-Informed Indexing Can Work. That's exciting news, and that's true news, and I will read to you a blog entry I wrote. John Bogle recently did an interview with Jim Wyant of IndexUniverse.com. Jim and I, well, I won't go into that. But we have a, I mean, I sort of think of Jim as a friend. When I first went to Index Universe, Jim welcomed me. He called me the new Rob Arnott at Index Universe. He said, what is it with guys named Rob? They're always stirring up trouble around here. First, Rob Arnott gets everything in an uproar, and now Rob Bennett comes along. Anyway, I won't go through the whole history. I've told it before. But Jim Wyant interviewed Bogle, and John Bogle, my hero. John Bogle said some interesting things. So I'm going to describe that, but I'm going to go a little beyond that. The real purpose of this podcast is I don't write emails to John Bogle very often. I think this is the second one I've done, and the first one was very brief. It was just to let him know about the valuation-informed indexing approach. And that was back when John Bogle first started his blog, and he was inviting emails. And so he had just given a speech at the Vanguard Diehards annual meeting, and it was we were in the midst of our stormy discussions about valuation-informed indexing and the old-school safe withdrawal rate studies there at the Vanguard Diehards board. And Bogle gave a great speech to the Diehards. It was awesome. And he pointed out all the reasons why I say that John Bogle is the godfather of rational investing. He was warning people that this crash was coming. He didn't use exactly those words, but no reasonable person could interpret it any other way. He was saying, beware. And the last line, he just threw in a little tidbit to the passive investing dogmatics. He said, stay the course, and all the rest was rational stuff. And rational, for those who don't know, rational investing is when you change your stock allocation as prices change. Just as you look at prices when you buy a car or a banana or a comic book, you do the same thing with stocks. When stocks become insanely overpriced, you change your allocation, you lower it. When they become insanely underpriced, you increase it. And Bogle, I learned this from John Bogle. I mean, I didn't learn all the details, but when I read his book, it was clear that he believes that valuations affect long-term returns. And so I learned it from Bogle. I talked about it on a discussion board, and the roof caved in on me. A bunch of passive investing dogmatics went nutso. And now for 7 years, I've been digging deeper, learning all the details, trying to revive these discussion board communities that these passive investing dogmatics have destroyed. Or if they haven't destroyed them, they've compromised them by, in some cases, they destroyed them. In other cases, they compromised them by banning honest posting on the effect of valuations on long-term returns, which is what ultimately happened at Vanguard Diehards. But back at the time of this Bogle speech, I believe this was 96, maybe summer of 96, something like that, late summer 96. September 96, maybe. I'm not sure. And Bogle gave this great speech, and then he threw in this little tagline, this little tidbit, and said, stay the course, which the passive investing dogmatics interpret as meaning stay at the same stock allocation. I think it could be interpreted just as easily as meaning, and more coherently, as meaning don't stay at the same stock allocation, because if you stay at the same stock allocation, your risk level is changing dramatically when prices rise. So stay the course, in my mind, if you're going to interpret it meaningfully, means change your allocation. But he threw in this line, and they all were interpreting it, Mel Lindauer, the Lindauer heads, were saying, here's John Bogle. He doesn't like valuation-informed indexing. He's not in favor of changing your... No. He's passive investing dogmatic. Oh, yes, he's a Lindauer head. And I didn't agree. And I wrote to Bogle, and just to let him know about valuation-informed indexing and to see if we could get him involved in the discussions. And my friend John D. Craig did something similar. He wrote to Bogle and asked Bogle to spell out, the message of his speech. And I know Bogle didn't respond to me. I don't think he responded to John either. And the nonsense continued, and then ultimately honest posting was banned at that board, I don't know, a year later or so. And so I haven't written to Bogle since. But I saw this speech he gave to IndexUniverse.com, and I was excited because I'll read to you my blog entry explaining why John Bogle is he's not quite endorsing valuation-informed indexing, but he is saying that it can work. And certainly if he says it can work, he's open to the idea. He's not putting his name on it, but he's clearly not in the Mel Lindauer camp. He's not in the John Graney camp. That's for sure. So, I felt that was a good sign, and I'll go into that. But there was another, well, I don't know, I'm going to get this all mixed up, but another sign along those lines. I've just participated in a long, long thread at the Shaddock's blog. It's called Money and Such blog. Well, I'm reluctant to go into it. I want to go into the Bogle stuff. But anyway, during that discussion, one of the Graney goons, they come over to terrorize all the blogs that discuss these issues. And one of the Graney goons has a sentence in there where he says, valuation-informed indexing is certainly an interesting strategy. You know, can you imagine any of the Graney goons or the Lindauer goons saying that a year ago or 2 years ago? It would have been unimaginable, but not today. So we are seeing progress. The sad sign is that the boards, all the major boards in the retire early and indexing discussion board communities remain closed to honest posting on the errors in the studies we use to plan our retirements and on valuation-informed indexing and on the effect of valuations on long-term returns in general. That's true at Motley Fool. That's true at Morningstar.com. That's true at Bogleheads.org. That's true at IndexUniverse.com. That's true at Early Retirement Forum. And it's true at a number of blogs. And I discussed blogs in the last podcast. I went through a survey of about 20 blogs and how they've responded to honest posting on the flaws of the passive investing model in podcast number 157. You can check that one out. But this podcast is intended first to bring your attention to what Bogle said, which I think is very important. It's, you know, this is a war we're fighting to get to overcome to get past the passive investing era and to enter the rational investing era, which I believe is going to usher in the golden age of middle class investing. And you don't win a war in one day. It's a lot of little skirmishes. And John Bogle acknowledging that valuation informed indexing can work is a big deal for him to do that publicly. So it's a big victory. Not as big as if Vanguard Diehards opened up to honest posting or if Bogleheads.org did, but let's take what we can get and, be grateful. And so I'm going to report on Bogle, but then in general, also, it's just intended to be sort of a state of the union, where we stand. Where we stand on our efforts to spread the word about what works, about the realities of stock investing, to spread the word, to millions of middle-class investors who have been hurt in this economic crisis caused by the reckless promotion of passive investing for 28 years after the academic research showed that it could not work in the real world. Robert Shiller published his research showing that valuations affect long-term returns back in 1981. And here we are in 2009. Trying to get the internet open to honest posting. All right. So I'm going to read. I did two blog entries. I want to read the text of the email I sent to John Bogle. I have not received a response from John Bogle to this email, but I want to read. I want to read that email, but in order to read it, I link in that email to John Bogle. I link to two earlier documents I think I need to read. The first document I link to is my earlier email to Bogle. So that's very short. I can read that quickly. That was the date of the blog entry where I gave the text of that email was May 17th. So the email went to Bogle either May 17th or I think it was May 17th. Might have been May 16th. Mr. Bogle, this is my earlier email to John Bogle from 2006. My name is Rob Bennett. I am a fan of your writings. I learned a lot from your explanations of how to determine rationally long-term stock returns. I write on investing at my website, passionsaving.com. I advocate an approach that I call valuation-informed indexing The distinction from the conventional approach to indexing is that valuation-informed indexers lower their stock allocation to times of extremely high valuations and increase them at times of extremely low valuations. I favor the use of PE10 as a valuation assessment tool. My view is that the typical investor should go with a stock allocation of about 50% at times of moderate valuation, increase that to about 75% at times of low valuation, and lower it to about 25% at times of high valuation, like today. I do not favor frequent changes in allocation levels. I do not favor short-term timing. I believe that changes in valuation affect the long-term value proposition offered by a stock investment. If an investor determines that he should have a stock allocation of X at moderate valuation levels, he needs to lower his stock allocation at times of high valuation levels in order to maintain the same risk level. I would be most grateful to hear any thoughts that you could share regarding this approach, Rob. So that's my earlier email to John Bogle. That was May. That was 2006, so a little more than 3 years ago. Now I want to read the blog entry I wrote describing interview that John Bogle had with Jim Wyant of IndexUniverse.com. This is a blog entry that I put up July 28th, a couple weeks ago. And the interview was held right around that time. I don't know, a few days before that. I put the blog entry up pretty soon after the interview was completed. The title of the blog entry is Bogle... Well, it's the same as the title of this podcast. Bogle says, valuation-informed indexing can work. Here's the blog entry. Vanguard founder John Bogle, in a recent video interview with IndexUniverse.com, with the IndexUniverse.com site, offered an almost, but not quite, endorsement of the valuation-informed indexing strategy, the investing strategy explored at this site. Bogle's comments came in the wake of a growing wave of opinion that the passive buy-and-hold strategy long advocated by Bogle has been proven a failure by last year's stock crash. Quote, big moves out of stocks should not be done at all, Bogle told interviewer Jim Wyant, publisher of the IndexUniverse.com site. But, quote, tactical asset allocation? I should say, strategic asset allocation rather than tactical, can be done at very rare times. So rare and so difficult to observe, maybe 6 times in an investor's lifetime, 3 times when the market is stupidly high, and 3 times when stupidly low. End of quote. Valuation-informed indexing rejects the idea that passive investing, sticking with the same stock allocation, even when stock allocations change dramatically, can ever work in the real world for the long-term investor. This strategy is rooted in the rational investing model, the alternative to the now dominant passive investing model. A model that accepts the academic research of the past 28 years showing that valuations always affect long-term returns. Valuation-informed indexers adjust their stock allocations as needed to keep their risk levels roughly constant, rather than keeping their allocation levels constant and thereby permitting their risk levels to get wildly out of whack from what they had determined was right for them when they had set them. Thus, valuation-informed indexers lost far less in the crash and will be benefiting from greatly enhanced compounding returns for decades to come. The historical stock return data shows that there has never yet been a time in U.S. history when passive investors have done better than valuation-informed indexers, although there have been many cases in which the valuation-informed strategy soundly beat the passive strategy. Bogle distanced himself from the position advanced by Mel Lindauer, author of The Boglehead's Guide to Investing, during his campaign of terror against the Vanguard Diehards discussion board community, which expressed great interest in learning more about valuation-informed indexing. Lindauer said that those who follow valuation-informed strategies are not properly thought of as, quote, bogleheads, and that it is, quote, dangerous for indexing boards to permit civil and honest discussion of the academic research of the past 3 decades, showing that valuations affect long-term returns. In contrast, Bogle invited those who find appeal in valuation-informed strategies to, quote, be my guest, unquote, in following them, and presumably in discussing them amongst themselves and with any of their friends who happen to be passive investors. However, It cannot be said that Bogle gave a full and clear endorsement to the new indexing strategy, a strategy developed by the thousands of members of the Retire Early and Indexing Discussion Board communities, participating in the controversial series of discussions collectively known as the Great Safe Withdrawal Rate Debate. He expressed skepticism as to investors' ability to take advantage of the message of the historical data, saying that valuation-informed indexing works only, quote, if you can pick the times, unquote, to make the necessary allocation shifts. Quote, I don't do it myself. I'm not smart enough to, the Vanguard founder and father of the indexing revolution added. Bogle did not offer any explanation of why he does not view himself as, quote, smart enough to follow this exceedingly simple strategy. But his expression of concern over picking the right times to make allocation shifts suggests that he may not yet possess a clear understanding of the key distinction between short-term timing and long-term timing, that picking market highs and lows is not necessary for success as a long-term timer. Still, Bogle made two major concessions that no big-name passive investing advocate has made before. First, he conceded, in the words quoted above, that valuation-informed indexing is a strategy, not a tactic. Passive dogmatists have often played word games in which they pretended, perhaps to themselves as well as to others, to acknowledge the academic research of the past three decades while ignoring a key finding of that research, that changing one's stock allocation in response to price changes works only when applied strategically to obtain long-term benefits, and not when employed tactically to obtain short-term benefits. The historical data shows both that tactical short-term timing never works, and that strategic long-term timing always works. Bogle's acknowledgement that the benefits of long-term timing are strategic rather than tactical is potentially a highly significant development. Passive investing dogmatists have long taken advantage of the general public's confusion over what the academic research says about timing, that short-term timing is a bad idea, and that long-term timing is required for long-term success, to thwart efforts of investors to learn the realities of stock investing by planting the suggestion that advocates of valuation-informed indexing are promoting a doomed tactical change rather than a common-sense strategic one. Second, he noted that knowing when to lower or increase one's stock allocation, quote, might not be quite as difficult as it seems, unquote. This statement suggests that Bogle has been educating himself about the message of the historical data in the months since the crash. There have been numerous good discussions of the merits of valuation-informed indexing at the Bogleheads.org board since September 2008, when the ban on discussion of the academic research of the last 28 years was eased, but not entirely lifted. Wyant imposed a partial ban on the discussion of the investing realities at the indexuniverse.com site after first expressing excitement about publishing articles on the valuation-informed indexing strategy, and then learning from his senior editor, who has ties to Mel Lindauer and other, quote, leaders of the Bogleheads.org board community, of Lindauer's position. However, Wyant, too, has evidenced a softening in recent months. His site recently published an article by Rob Arnott, former editor of the Financial Analyst Journal, arguing that most of the conventional investing wisdom of today, insights developed under the passive investing model, is the product of, quote, myth and urban legend, unquote. Arnott has said that we are today living in the early days of a, quote, revolution in our understanding of how stock investing works. That was my blog entry on John Bogle's interview with IndexUniverse.com. Now I'm going to read, and then I'll stop reading to you, I promise, my email to John Bogle. And I printed the text of the email at the blog on July 30th, 2009. The title of this blog entry is, quote, my hope is to persuade you to steer the indexing revolution to a more promising path. The blog entry says, set forth below is the text of an email that and the entitled, quote, we need your help to open the indexing boards to honest discussion of valuation-related topics that I sent yesterday to Vanguard Group founder John Bogle. with a copy to IndexUniverse.com publisher Jim Wyant. Mr. Bogle. This is Rob Bennett, author of the A Rich Life blog and owner of the PassionSaving.com site. I hope that things have been going well with you since the last time I wrote. You may recall that my May 2006 email introduced you to the valuation-informed indexing concept. To refresh your memory of the contents of the earlier email, here is a link to a blog post setting forth its text, and I just read you the text of that earlier email. I was excited to see your almost but not quite endorsement of valuation-informed indexing in your recent video interview with Jim Wyant of IndexUniverse.com. I wrote a blog entry reporting on your comments and all my thoughts as to their significance, and here's a link to the blog entry that I just read. I hope that you will appreciate the great need for me to convey to you the message below, despite the delicacy of the matter. We humans often need to experience pain before we can open our minds to the consideration of new ideas. Have you not found this to be so? My hope for this email is to persuade you to take actions that you are uniquely situated to take that would steer the indexing revolution to a new and, I believe, far more promising path than the one it is on today. I believe that passive indexing, the indexing strategy that you pioneered, is the indexing strategy of the past. I believe that valuation-informed indexing, the indexing strategy that I developed with the help of thousands of middle-class investors participating in discussions held over the last 7 years in the Retire Early and Indexing Discussion Board communities, is the indexing strategy of the future. My view is that you did work of huge importance in developing the passive investing strategy. Your insights are, of course, the foundational insights for the new strategy. But that you committed terrible mistakes in your crafting of the first draft indexing approach. Indexing works for the long-term investor only if he is open to making allocation shifts in response to big valuation changes, and many passive investors are highly reluctant even to consider the possibility. Investing passively for years causes investors to become emotionally incapable of making the allocation shifts required for long-term success. I understand that you do not believe this today. I believe that I possess a reasonably good, but far less than perfect, understanding of why. It has taken me 7 years of intense study to develop the insights that I now make use of on a daily basis in the podcast, articles, blog entries, and calculators published at my site. I want to make these insights available to you and to all of the indexers who look to you for guidance, which obviously number in the millions. That sounds patronizing. It's not my intent to patronize. You are one of my heroes. I feel great respect and affection for you because of the work you have done for middle-class investors over a long and fruitful and shining career. It was by reading your book that I learned where stock returns come from, and thereby walked the first step that led me years later to development of the valuation-informed indexing strategy. There's obviously no benefit to me if I come off sounding patronizing in an email to my hero, and thereby cause him to feel disinclined to help out in the important cause to which I am seeking to enlist him. But you know what? There's nothing I can do about it. I sincerely believe that valuation-informed indexing is superior to passive indexing in every possible way. I am 99% certain of this, as certain as I am of the fact that the moon is not made of green cheese. If I were to suggest some doubt ray this point in my words to you, I would be engaging in an act of dishonesty. So I have to deliver the message in the only way in which it can be honestly delivered, and hope that you have had some life experience that helps you to understand where I am coming from. I have read that you faced a good deal of flack when first leading the charge for the indexing concept. Perhaps there were times when you had to say things that you knew to be so that caused some pain to some people on, quote, the other side, unquote, to whom you very much did not want to be causing pain. I have been learning more and more and more about how stock investing works in the real world in the 7 years since I put forward the fateful post to the Motley Fool site that kicked off the Great Safe Withdrawal Rate debate. I am highly confident that this is what you would have wanted those who followed in your footsteps to do. I am highly confident that had it been I who pioneered indexing and you who discovered the errors in the first draft of the concept, you would have worked as hard as I have to learn everything possible about the errors made in the first draft and about the changes that need to be made to salvage the indexing concept in the wake of the great human misery it has caused in recent years. In any event, the path that I have taken is to learn all that I possibly could learn. My experience has been that once I abandoned the idea that passive can work, there has been seemingly no limit to the learning experiences that have opened to me. As I am sure you know, the indexing movement is a troubled movement today. There are some who have become so dogmatic about their belief that only passive indexing can work that they have engaged in a great deal of ugliness to block thousands of community members who have expressed the desire to explore new ideas. My sense is that while you remain unconvinced that passive needs to be replaced, you do not feel comfortable with the tactics that have been employed at discussion boards that carry your name or your company's name to silence the many community members who have developed doubts about the conventional approach in recent years. Our community needs you to act to bring this ugliness to an end. My ultimate goal is to convince you and all other passives that valuation-informed indexing is superior. This is not work that can be done in a day. The transition to a new model can only be achieved gradually, as the thousands of questions that those who have long favored the passive strategy are answered by those who have come to lose confidence in that strategy. I do not ask you to endorse valuation-informed indexing today. I ask you to endorse an end to the ugliness that has blocked civil and reasonable debate on these questions for a good number of years now. The indexing movement needs to leave that ugliness behind us once and for all. Can you help? It's possible that I am wrong. We all have an inclination to overlook the flaws in our own arguments. If I am wrong, I want to know that. The best way for me to learn it is for my ideas to be challenged in civil and reasoned discussion by those who believe in the passive strategy. The idea of opening our boards to honest and civil and informed and serious and fun discussions is a win-win-win-win-win. We either move the indexing revolution in an exciting new direction or we learn that no new direction is needed. Neither of these favorable options is available to us for so long as we give in to fear and refrain from taking the steps needed to get fruitful discussions started. If you have any questions about what I am writing about here, please know that I am happy to help in any way possible to get things moving in a constructive and positive and encouraging direction. Thanks again for all the wonderful work you have done for middle-class investors and for whatever time you are able to give to consideration of this request. That's my email to the godfather of rational investing, John Bogle, also a leading voice, probably the leading voice, advocating the passive investing model, the opposite model. Now, I promised that I would not read anything else to you, but there actually is one other thing I did want to read, and then I will stop reading at you. But I received an email last week from Mike Piper. Mike Piper is the owner of the Oblivious Investor blog. And Oblivious Investing is basically the John Bogle approach to investing. And it contains all the good elements of John Bogle: keeping costs low, sticking with a long-term strategy, not getting caught up in the noise of the day-to-day market changes, all that sort of thing. Using stocks as your primary approach to achieving financial freedom, investing in indexes rather than picking individual stocks, all that. But it also advocates passive investing, which means not changing your stock allocation in response to dramatic changes in price, and that dooms all the good work that Mike does at that blog, in my view, my opinion. So I like Mike. I think Mike is a pretty good guy. And he's not perfect. He's defensive at times about his advocacy of passive investing, but he's better than most I've seen. He's better than most I've seen. And at times, I actually find him pretty darn open. You know, he has a sense of humor. And he doesn't take himself so seriously as some do. And I think he has a sense of honor. I think he's tempted to ban honest posting at his blog. And he's come close at times. But there's something in his head that tells him, no, that's not the way to go. And he may end up doing it, but he will do it with a great deal of reluctance if he does, in my estimation. So there was a what happens a lot of times at that blog is I make it a practice. I used to do this at Vanguard Diehards. One of the things that the goons are people who post abusively to block honest posting. And every place I've posted, there's been a lot of interest in valuation-informed indexing and the new school safe withdrawal rate studies, all this. There's always been great interest, but that interest has always been, the great interest has always been a minority of the community, maybe 20%. And the majority, say 60%, has always been sort of in the middle. They like the idea of hearing about these new ideas, but they're not inclined to jump on them anytime real soon. They need to be convinced. And then there's roughly 20% that is viciously opposed to any discussion of rational investing, any discussion of valuation-informed indexing, any discussion of what the historical data says about safe withdrawal rates. Viciously abusive group. I call this group passive investing dogmatists, or goons for short. And what they often do is their tactic is to post at these places and to pretend to be interested in the subject. So they will ask legitimate questions and surround their questions with all sorts of hostility and nastiness. So that by doing that, they force a response by anyone responsible, because it would be wrong not to respond to the questions, since these are new ideas and it's quite reasonable that people would have questions. And if you're not willing to answer the questions, you shouldn't put the ideas on the table. However, by injecting massive doses of ugliness into the discussions, they make honorable people, decent people, repulsed. And then these people want to leave the board. And hopefully they drive enough of those people off the board that the only people left are goons. Or they silence people who otherwise would participate. They might have ideas they want to share. They might want to say, hey, these are great ideas, but they don't say anything because they know that all the nastiness will be directed at them if they do. That's a standard tactic. It's been going on for 7 years. And this occurs at Mike's blog. And I have a policy of trying, whenever a valuation question, evaluation related question comes up, of adding a comment, usually brief, giving the rational perspective, not the passive perspective, the rational perspective, so that others, of course, represent the passive. There are always people giving the passive perspective, since that's the dominant model today. And so people get exposed to both sides. And of course, over time, they say, oh, that's interesting. You know, rational, that's how it works. And over time, you know, support for passive, hopefully, is eroded. But of course, the goons hate that. They don't want that to happen. They don't want people to learn the realities. And so they jump in with this abusive stuff. And one of the tactics they use are these phony questions. They're phony in the sense that the goons have no interest in the answer. All they want to do is smear. But the questions themselves are often legitimate. So I respond to the legitimate questions. I usually ignore the ugly stuff. And I respond to the legitimate questions. And then they get very agitated and angry. And they say, how dare you respond to questions? How dare you? You know, you post too often. We asked 16 questions and you gave 3 responses. How dare you? You have to be banned. This is unacceptable to have 3 responses, and the goons only have 16 questions, and you responded 3 times. This is unacceptable. You're using up too much bandwidth. This is standard. And because they include threats of physical violence and smears and all this sort of thing, many, you know, all the people in the middle are reluctant to call them on the nonsense. So they employ that tactic at the Oblivious Investor blog. And so sometimes I respond and there's one response and that's it. And everybody else goes on about their business. Everybody's happy. Sometimes you get a legitimate person asking a question, you know, not a non-goon. Those are the best. And but every now and then you get these nasty, drawn-out things where I'm responding to the legitimate questions and the goons are injecting poison. And Mike sent me an email talking about this and you know, urging me not to participate. You see, he advocates passive investing, so he's not too excited about... He knows that he doesn't have any arguments against passive against rational investing. I advocate rational investing. He doesn't have any arguments. He knows what the historical data says. I've reported it. He knows that there's huge interest in the community because I've pointed him to articles where, you know, over 100 people have expressed the desire that honest posting be permitted. And that's obviously just a small sample of the ones that would like to see honest posting. So Mike knows the score. But he wants to advocate passive because that's what he's written a book on it. He doesn't want to have to rewrite the book. He wants to get links from Mel Lindauer and the Bogleheads and all this sort of thing. So he's in a spot. My view is the greatest thing he could do all the way around would be he shouldn't advocate valuation-informed indexing if he personally doesn't believe in it. And I don't really think he personally is persuaded today. When I say he knows the score, I mean that he knows about all this dynamics with the goons. I don't think he fully knows the score about valuation-informed indexing. I think he knows that it's important, and he knows there's a case to be made, but he'd rather not know too many details, so he avoids it. And I of course, would like him not to do that. I would like him to promote it or at the very least start a discussion. I would like him to say, look, there's an important question for the indexing revolution. Are we going to stay on this passive path? Are we going to, explore this new valuation-informed path? And if he believes in passive, he should, of course, argue for that. But I think he should allow others to argue for valuation-informed and see where it all works out. But he's not too excited about that idea. But he doesn't ban it, at least not yet, but it came close. And then he sent me an email. So I said, look, Mike, I'm going to post. I'm not doing this community any good unless I post my honest views. I believe passive investing can never work. I believe it was all a mistake. It was based on this idea of an efficient market. That idea has been discredited by the academic research. It was all a mistake. And it's a mistake that has caused more human misery than any other mistake ever made in the history of personal finance. And we need to correct it. So I'm not helping this community unless I share what I believe on this subject. But he sent me this email trying to persuade me to look at things in a different light. And the email, it's fairly extraordinary. It's frank. Frank is good. And it's hard on me. And I'll read it in a second. Painful to read. Because it's true. I mean, I don't know for a fact that it's true, but it has the ring of truth. I believe it's true. Absolutely. So I think what I'm trying to do in this podcast is to tell you the state, where we stand in this effort to bring the passive investing era to an end and usher in the rational era, which I believe will be a far more enriching, life-affirming era. So I gave you the positive news with, Bogle opening the door a little bit to consideration of valuation-informed indexing. He didn't endorse it. He said he doesn't think he's smart enough, but he said, be my guest. He's not Mel Lindauer. Bogle rejected the Mel Lindauer approach of smash and burn. I think that was good news. Mike's comments, I think, on the surface at least, it's a more negative take. He's saying, look, Rob, I mean, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he's basically saying, Rob, people are repulsed by you. And, I've seen a lot of evidence this is so. So Mike is telling it straight. However, he's honest. He doesn't write this like a goon. He sort of tells both sides. And so it comes across real, And real is something we can work with. Real is something that helps us. So Mike, I think, deserves a round of applause. I think he took a constructive step with this email. So I'm going to read it to you. And maybe I'll comment. Maybe I'll just let you draw your own conclusions. But I'm going to put it out there in any event. Here's the blog entry that I wrote. In the blog entry, I quote Mike's email. Mike Piper, author of the Oblivious Investor blog, wrote me an email in response to Tuesday's blog entry. The title of Tuesday's blog entry was Mike Piper of Oblivious Investor bans discussion of Lindauer's campaign of terror against diehards. Mike said he would not allow. The goons were on an earlier thread, and they were bringing up the subject of the ban on honest posting. And I felt that the question was on the table. I had to address it. I had to say, why is there such a ban? Mel Lindauer insisted on it. And Mike said, oh, I don't want any discussion of what happened at other communities. Well, if you're going to advocate passive investing and you're not going to talk about Mel Lindauer's campaign of terror, against the diehards community, you're not telling people the story. This is the biggest development in the indexing revolution, in years. So I think Mike was wrong. And I said in that earlier, I'm not going to read the earlier email because it just takes too long to read all these things, but I said in that email that I felt Mike was influenced by marketing considerations, that it hurts the marketing of his blog and his book if he allows discussion of Mel Lindauer's campaign of terror against, our community. And I don't say that's the only thing motivating Mike. I do not believe it's the only thing motivating him, but I do think it's a pressure that he feels. I do believe that. And he refers to that here in his email at the end. And he does it in a fair way. He doesn't flat out even deny it, although he clearly suggests that he doesn't think it's true. But he does so fairly enough that I'm won over to his side a little bit. After I read Mike's words, I sort of say maybe he's not. Maybe marketing considerations are not as big an influence as I thought. I still think they are, but he's fair enough that he wins me over at least a little bit. I'm back to reading from my blog entry. Reading the email was this blog entry, if I didn't mention, was dated August 20th. Reading the email was a painful experience for me. You will understand why when you read the words of the email set forth below. Mike has given me permission to post his words here. However, I am highly confident that Mike's words are honest and well-intentioned and brave words. I sent him a response email expressing my gratitude. I hope that we can all read his words, consider their significance, and act constructively in response to them. Here are Mike's words. Hi, Rob. I believe that, A, you're a genuinely good guy, and B, you believe deeply in the validity and importance of your message and are doing what you can to spread it. I can appreciate that. It's my respect for you that's spurring me to write this email to honestly inform you about something I'm not sure you're aware of. I've had multiple people ask me in the last week why I continue to allow you to comment on the blog. Note, these are not the goons to whom you refer. These are real-life friends and family members of mine. I can assure you, with 100% confidence, that they read no other investing-related blogs or forums. So their thoughts have nothing to do with what has occurred elsewhere on the web. Also, these people do not work in the investment industry, and they themselves follow a myriad of investment strategies. So they have no vested interest in one investment strategy as opposed to another. As far as I can tell, these people are about as impartial as anyone could be. These people, good people, have described your comments as, quote, spammy, obnoxious, and, quote, like the guy in a town hall meeting who won't shut up about something everybody else doesn't care about, unquote. Note, none of these people have voiced any issues or arguments with your message. They take issue with the way you're attempting to spread it. I think what's happening here is that, bullet point, to you, your comments are on topic and essential whenever concepts such as asset allocation or expected return come up on the blog. That's why you bring the topic up so frequently and with such fervor. Bullet point two. To others, to whom the connection is not so clear, your comments come across quite differently. I encourage you, for the sake of your own success, to take a look at your methods. I suspect that in some cases, perhaps your being banned from various sites has more to do with the manner in which you go about spreading your message than it has with the actual content of the message. I genuinely believe that you would reach more people if you scaled it down a level. As to my own website, my goal is to both help investors succeed and make the site a place that people enjoy visiting. I'm requesting that you limit your comments to 2 per thread and to ask yourself whether other readers would see a comment as, quote, on topic before you post it. If you call that, quote, putting marketing considerations above his desire to inform his readers what works in stock investing, unquote, then so be it. Sincerely, Mike. That is the real thing in Rob Bennett's assessment. Mike Piper is shooting straight. Mike Piper has really had friends of his tell him, this Rob Bennett guy is obnoxious. He's spammy. He's a jerk. He's a pain in the butt. Please kick him off the blog because I don't want to go to your blog anymore when I have to read this guy. On the other hand, I think Mike believes what he says here when he says, I believe you're a genuinely good guy and you believe in the validity and importance of your message. Mike hit it right on the head. He's a good writer. Mike Piper is a good writer and a sharp thinker. And he says, he sums up everything. He sums up 7 years when he says, to you, your comments are on topic and essential whenever concepts such as asset allocation or expected return come up on the blog. That's why you bring the topic up so frequently and with such fervor. That's it. That's exactly right. But he's also right when he says, to others to whom the connection is not so clear, your comments come across quite differently. I'm saying this stuff because I think it's impossible to invest effectively without taking valuations into consideration when setting your allocation. I believe we are going to drive the economy of the United States over a cliff if we don't correct this mistake of thinking that passive investing can work in the real world. So it's urgent business. But there are lots and lots of people who have invested passively. I call them investors in pain. Millions who have invested passively and who can't bear to let in the reality that they've made a terrible mistake, that their money didn't just disappear because the bankers took it. You know, this preposterous explanation that's been put forward as conventional wisdom, that the bankers took all our money. Bankers are just as clueless as most of the rest of us. They're following the same economic theories that the passive investors are following when they're assessing risk of loans. We did this. We did this to ourselves. And that hurts. And we not only hurt ourselves, we hurt our friends. We hurt our family members. We hurt our neighbors. We hurt our coworkers. We hurt our fellow community members. We have been made fools of ourselves. We didn't make a mistake on some complicated maneuver. We made a mistake on the most basic element of investing imaginable, whether price matters or not. John Graney once said, called me a dumbass. We're all dumbasses. Anyone who thinks that the price you pay for stocks doesn't affect the value proposition you obtain from buying them is a dumbass. No? So, it's not just John Bogle. It's not just Mel Lindauer. It's not just John Graney. It's not just Mike Piper. We're a nation of dumbasses. The question is, well, let's look at it from a different direction. I'm saying it harsh so that you'll hear it. Break through the fog and confusion. Let's say it from a different angle. We're all frightened children. Is that a nicer way of saying it? We are all frightened children. We need to invest in stocks to be able to hope to retire someday. And we don't understand them. And neither does John Bogle. And neither does Bill Bernstein. Neither do any of these other people, you know, being described, being characterized as experts. We're all children, scared, frightened children, trying to fake it. And what the efficient market theory gave us was a bunch of fancy equations we could write on the chalkboard and persuade ourselves that we were educated and experienced and smart. And we didn't have to be afraid. We had it all figured out. We knew enough to destroy ourselves. This is the reality, in Rob Bennett's opinion. We are frightened children. And we all need to forgive each other. We all need to forgive ourselves. And when we forgive ourselves and when we forgive each other, we can move forward. It's over. The spell is broken. But until we do that, we will suffer this friction, this pain, this ugliness. Mike, you know, I'm not going to comment too much on what he said because the words speak for themselves. You know, I offered my comment there in the blog entry. I said, we all need to think about these words. What Mike did what I always talk about. I talk about a two-prong approach, love and honesty. And my opinion is they go together. There can be no true honesty without love. You know, they draw a conflict. You know, there's two songs I know. There's probably many more, but there are two that I know on this theme. Paul Simon has a song I like a lot called Tenderness. You don't have to lie to me. Just give me some tenderness along with your honesty. And Billy Joel had one called Honesty. Honesty is such a lonely word. Everyone is so untrue. So Billy Joel was arguing for the honesty side. Paul Simon was arguing for the love. But my belief is that these two things go together, and with you can never be 100% honest without love. Because if I didn't include the love aspect in this podcast, I'd be condemning Mike Piper and John Bogle and all the rest for the horror that they have caused. But when you inject love into it, you see, it sheds light and you say, yes, it's true. The horror is true. The busted retirements are real. But these people acted out of love. They're scared children. That's a greater truth. So You can't have the honesty without the love. However, you also can't have love without honesty. I feel that that's what Mike Piper and John Bogle are trying to get away with. They're saying, we're going to tell people what they want to hear. We're not going to tell them about this historical data. We're not going to tell them we got the retirement numbers wrong. We're not going to tell them they made a mistake, that, you know, they could be years ahead on their retirement plan if only they had invested rationally. We're not going to hurt their feelings. We're going to continue the BS. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Well, maybe on the surface that looks like love, but is it really love? Leads to stock crashes. It's already led to the greatest loss of middle-class wealth in the history of the United States. It's a funny kind of love. It's led to an economic crisis, which in my opinion has caused, not quite, but it's caused damage to our political system. It's shaking it. I feel that what we're seeing in these healthcare discussions is people losing confidence in their political leaders. And Senator Lieberman said something close to this just yesterday on one of those Sunday shows. He said, we should put healthcare off until we've dealt with the economic crisis. And that shows the connection between the two. You see, there's a connection. Many people support health reform of some nature. But many people today are scared to death of what their government's going to do because they're scared. And they're scared because they've lost so much of the retirement money. And they lost their retirement money because the quote-unquote experts have not been willing to work up the courage to shoot straight on the errors they made in believing in the efficient market theory and in believing in the passive investing model. So this has gone beyond just causing busted retirements. It's gone beyond just causing an economic crisis. It is shaking our political system. We need to get serious. So, two good statements. The statement that Bogle made in his video, it's a good statement. He didn't endorse valuation-informed indexing, but he sure didn't endorse Mel Lindauer's ban on it. He said people should feel free to go that route. Certainly that suggests to me that Bogle does not, at least explicitly, he does not endorse the ban on honest posting. Now, it's impossible for me to believe that Bogle is not aware of the campaign of terror. It went on for 2 years, and Bogle has told us that he's a regular reader of that board. So Bogle knows. At least, you know, perhaps not in detail, but he knows that there's problems, and he hasn't addressed them. So in that sense, Mel Lindauer may say Bogle has endorsed it. He stood by, he sat on his hands, but he doesn't endorse it in these public words. And I think we should be appealing to the better side of John Bogle, not the darker side that I think Mel Lindauer sometimes appeals to. And we should appeal to the brighter side of Mel Lindauer, for that matter, and Mike Piper, and all Mike Piper's friends. In other words, Mike Piper combined love and frankness, honesty. He was honest. He was honest about how people feel. He was honest about why he doesn't want people repulsed by his blog. But what is he going to do? Is his answer going to be to continue to endorse passive investing, a doomed strategy? That's not, in my view, that's not tenable. So we need to work together. We need to work together. John Bogle should be working with Rob Bennett, who should be working with Mike Piper, who should be working with Mel Lindauer, who should be working, with William Bernstein, who should be working with Jonathan Clements, and on and on and on. We should all be working together to make a transition from the passive model to the rational model. I think it's fair to say that the most ardent passive investing advocates no longer believe that this model can be defended in rational civil debate. That seems to be universal. They're not willing to say it in words, but It's been a long time since anyone's made an effort to defend passive investing in reason debate. So, we need to move on. But we need to do so gently. We need to do so charitably, compassionately. But we do need to move on. And if we're not going to... If the John Bogles of the world and the Mike Pipers of the world, the Mel Lindauers of the world, do not today feel that they can endorse valuation-informed indexing, then they're right not to endorse it. I said that in the email to John Bogle. They should not. I said, I am not asking for your endorsement. I said, what I'm asking for is that you do something about the ban on honest posting. Because that's the first step. The first step is the discussions. The transition to rational investing will happen naturally once people start learning, because once people start learning, their fear will diminish. They will have confidence in a new model. But we can't get from point A, where we are, to point B, where we all deep in our hearts very much want to be. Or I should say, we can't go from point A to point C without passing through point B. And point B is initiating a national debate on the flaws of the passive investing model and for the need to develop a valuation-informed model that I call rational investing.